Well, welcome to break 39. We're just going to continue on here with the answers to the question, so now what do we do? And we were talking about it when we finished break 38, that we were talking about taking Paul's teachings and then becoming a policeman with him, demanding that perfection, demanding your flesh to now walk perfectly. Now that you know the truth, now I can walk that perfect Christian life, and you can't. Your flesh will not allow it. So let's keep going here. So we looked at what should we do now? Well, let's not make provision for the flesh. Do your best. If you know you're going to get caught up in the drinking, then you don't go to a bar. If you know music's going to cause you a problem, then don't turn on your music. If you know going to some bookstores is going to be a problem, then don't go there because you're making provision for that flesh. If eating's a big issue, then don't go to a restaurant. Don't go to some place where you can't control your area around you, whatever you would say. Don't make that provision for the flesh because you'll fulfill the lust it says there. Okay? Remembering that your flesh is not going to glory in the truth. So your flesh is going to fight that sort of a thing. You're going to find out that we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, that not to confer with flesh and blood. Go to the scriptures. Opinion and psychology doesn't work. It might work for your flesh. And really what psychology is, by the way, and psychiatry and all this kind of stuff, and going to these psychiatrists and these counselors and stuff, they're just showing you, through their studies and life experiences, how you're going to control that flesh and how to make that flesh happy and balanced and proper, when really what you need to do is you need to just go to the scriptures. And then remember that Paul fought the flesh all the time, Romans chapter 7. But also, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you at the first." I mean, Paul's own flesh told him not to preach the gospel. He didn't want to do this. His flesh did not want to do what Christ told Paul to do. "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you at the first." Didn't want to do it. So, listen, this is why I like Paul so much. He was there where we are. He's a man like just like the rest of us. And is he my Savior? No. And we know Christ went through the same thing. But Paul was just another guy. He was not God in the flesh. He was another guy. He was another man. And he fought the flesh just like we do. And we can learn from Paul's life. Now, verse 14, Paul also says, "And my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected." So he's talking to these people that even though Paul fought his flesh, even though Paul had a fleshy temptation, they didn't despise him. They didn't reject him. It says here, "Receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus." This is what these people thought of Paul. And people do accuse us of that. Well, Paul is our only apostle. And Paul did meet with Christ face to face. And Paul is suffering persecution. Paul knows what it's like. We know what it's like. We can turn to Paul. Well, we're turning to the risen Savior. Of course we are. But we're turning to the risen Savior through Paul. And so we understand the battle that Paul had with his flesh. He teaches to us how it's separated from our soul and spirit. And he teaches us the battle that he had, as we have. And if we get that understanding, like I said earlier, we can have a peace. We have an understanding. And actually, I think it helps us fight the flesh even more so. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Let's look at that verse. Galatians 5, 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, here's again for these modern Christians. Walk in the Spirit, meaning to them, they're living perfectly. They're good, loving everybody Christians. Everybody's got problems but them. Well, they might agree to the fact that they have a few problems. See what I'm saying? Walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? How about you just open up that King James Bible? You're not going by spiritual feelings. You're not going by what somebody's taught you. You're going by the Scriptures. Those Scriptures are the sword of the Spirit. We could bunny trail off into those Scriptures, but that's walking in the Spirit. Obeying the Gospels to the letter? No. Obeying the law to the letter? No. Obeying Peter and James and John? No. Walking in the Spirit is understanding what the risen Savior taught to us. Try to walk that walk, according to Paul, knowing, of course, that you're going to fight the flesh. You're going to fight that stuff all the time. There's going to be few victories, and when you have a victory, you're going to have persecution. You understand all that stuff because you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking with the King James Bible. And it says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you know you're going to do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, crack open that Bible, start reading something. Paul says, avoid, withdraw from, have no company with. Paul is very simple. He's just going to say, well, then don't go there. Well, I have a trouble doing this. Well, we'll stop it. Well, I have trouble. I shouldn't go to this place, but I'm going to go. Well, then don't go there. It's very simple to walk in the Spirit, actually. Just don't do those things. Just don't go to those places. Just don't read that. Just don't drink that. Don't eat that. Really pretty simple. But again, your understanding, your flesh is what you're battling. Again, go back and read Romans chapter 7, 15 to the end of the chapter. That will help explain in nobody's better words than what Christ told Paul to say there. That will tell you exactly the battle that you're having. Now, verse 17, Galatians 5, 17. Verse 16 again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. It's a battle. And the more we feed that flesh, the more provision we make for that flesh, the more that flesh glorifies in itself and the joys of feeding the flesh, the more you confer with flesh and blood instead of that King James Bible, the more that you turn the truth of Paul into a legalistic series of teachings, the more you stay out of that King James Bible, you know, the more you're going to fight this stuff. But if we're going to feed that flesh, you're not going to be able to do the things that you know you would. And that's exactly what Paul says, Romans 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Because now it's going to fight that battle, because now we're separate. That flesh is separate now. And these are contrary the one to the other. When you're not a Christian, or you say you're a Christian when you truly aren't, and you haven't had that operation, you're not going to have that battle. The flesh is pleased. You know what you're going to hate? They're going to hate the King James Bible. They're going to hate the truth. They're not going to have that battle within. They're going to enjoy the fact that nobody likes the King James Bible. They're going to enjoy the fact that all this music today pleases the flesh, because they're going to be happy with it. They're going to like that music. They're going to like this immodesty that's going around our country. They're going to like the stupidity that's taking place within our government. They're going to like that stuff, because they have no Spirit of God telling them differently. And even if you come along and try to show them something and tell them something, they're still not going to like it, because what you're trying to tell them, which is spiritual truth, is going to go against their flesh, and they are part of their flesh. They are still in their flesh. They're not going to like it. They're going to hate it, in fact. Maybe that even helps us understand why people react the way they do, even why so-called Christians act the way they do, because they truly just might not possibly be a real Christian. They're going to attack the King James Bible. They're going to attack the King James only Bible position. They're going to attack the Paul thing. They're going to attack rightly dividing. They're going to want to study the Gospels. They might even be willing to study the Gospels and Paul and get into some Peter things and mix all the same First and Second Peter, mix all that together, see? They don't like the fact that I would say Paul only, King James only. There seems to be a problem there. Their flesh isn't going to like that. Why is that? Are they still in their flesh? Or have they been saved, but they're just truly mistaught? Have they been truly quickened? Have they truly been made alive? That's one of the questions that has to come up with people who conflict with what you're teaching. If, of course, you're teaching the truth out of a rightly divided King James Bible. I'm not talking about teaching your denominational teachings. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm not talking about what you think based on your studies. I'm talking about what the Bible says. It's that simple. Philippians 3:3 says this here. Let's check under this thing here. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. See, we're not talking about the physical Jewish circumcision. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. By the way, that is not worship services in the church with all the rock music and stuff. That's worshiping God in the flesh. And that's not worshiping God, because he won't accept that. He even says that way back even in Amos. He wants the melody. But even the whole concept of worship today is false. You're worshiping the Antichrist. You're worshiping the devil. That's what he wants. Another break time right there. Don't get back on the trail. It says here, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, which is why you don't have to go to church, by the way, to worship God anyway, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We have very much confidence in our flesh today. We are educated. We are Bible studied. We got all the information at the hand of a computer. But then he says, have no confidence in the flesh, Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. If Paul wants to trust in the flesh, he's got all sorts of reasons and points that he could. But he doesn't. I don't have confidence in my flesh. But if I could, hey, listen, I'm a Hebrew, da-da-da-da, okay? So even though we know what we know about our bodies and our flesh and the Spirit of God and King James Bible, et cetera, we could walk pretty proudly. But Paul still says, listen, don't go there. Don't even get into that level. Okay, well, you know what? Let's stop right there, and we'll just continue on to whatever pops up next in the next break here.